You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're here this morning to talk about some public policy issues affecting you, a part of the Catholic community. And this morning, we have a wonderful show this morning. We're going to have two guests on. We're going to lead the program by talking a little bit about a poll that was recently released, in part sponsored by the Catholic Conference, along with some other groups, conducted by the Friedman Foundation that some listeners might be familiar with. It's about school choice and some of the attitudes about Illinoisans with regard to that issue of vouchers and school choice. We'll be talking about that issue for the first 20 minutes of our program. And then we are going to be joined by Tom Chapman, who is my colleague in the state of Iowa. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the presidential race in Iowa, being that that seems to be on the front burner of a lot of conversations that are going on recently. And you'll notice in yesterday's Chicago Tribune, there was a big poll released about the public attitude about the preference of Illinoisans with regard to the presidential candidates on February 5th. So we're going to be talking with Tom at about 20 after, and we're going to begin this morning's program, as I mentioned earlier, by talking with Colin Hitt, who is with the Illinois Policy Institute. And Colin's going to be on the line with us for about 20 minutes to talk about the results of a very exciting poll that came out, I think it was last week. And there was a press conference, press releases sent to the media. It didn't make much of the Chicago press, as far as I can recall, but it was it did appear, the results of the poll did appear across various publications in the state of Illinois. And let's just jump into our first topic this morning, and let's see if Colin's on the line. And if people would like to join our conversation or have any questions or comments, the phone number here is area code 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. And I should add this morning that we're listening to Relevant Radio on our new call dial. Is that what we call it? Mike's nodding to me on AM 950. Mike's not quite awake yet here. I think he's still – I'm not awake yet either. Colin, are you on the line with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
We're fine. We're a little cold, but and we've been hit a little bit with the snow up here. So, but we're still struggling out. You are downstate Illinois today, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm sitting in my office in Springfield, Illinois.
Lovely Springfield, and we miss it so. Colin, tell us a little bit. I mentioned to our viewers before you joined us, you're with the Illinois Policy Institute, and I believe it was the Friedman Foundation that conducted the poll, and it was Strategic Vision that actually did the poll. It went out in the field, what, beginning of of November, is that correct?
Yes, it was the second week of November, just over a month ago today, that we closed polling on 1,500 likely voters across the state.
And what were the main findings of the poll as you understand them?
Well, the main findings of the poll, as I believe anybody understands them, it's fairly clear, is one, Illinoisans are not too happy with our public school system.
Mm-hmm.
When asked to rate the public school system, only one in four came back with a favorable opinion, either saying that they were excellent or very good. And what's more, when we asked Illinoisans if they had a choice of a certain school setting, where they would send their kids, if they had the choice, only one in five came back and said regular public school. And as you well know, being as the Catholic school operates mm-hmm. hundreds, if not thousands, of schools across the state, mm-hmm. 85% of students actually have to attend a regular public school. So to have four out of five parents come back and tell us that it's an option that they would not choose if they had their druthers, and what's more, one that they're not too happy about, by only one in five, four coming back and saying that they're good, it was something that was particularly shocking to us, but also in line with what the Illinois Policy Institute has been claiming for a while in Illinois, is that public education has simply got to get better, and it's obviously not very good right now.
Colin, I thought one of the things that was interesting at the poll as I was looking at it this morning, I think there's a huge public education advocacy opportunity here. I think it said that 38%, two-fifths of those polled really were not familiar with vouchers or school choice issues. And it was interesting also that 56% supported vouchers. So it tells me that of the people who are not aware of the issue, perhaps if they were more aware of the benefits of what a true school choice program could provide, perhaps we might be able to make some headway in terms of changing some, if you will, positions in Springfield.
Well, that's absolutely the position of the Illinois Policy Institute. In fact, our organization exists to inform constituents and lawmakers alike about the public policy options that not only are on the table, but could be on the table as well. And we certainly believe that two in particular need to start being discussed across the state and in Springfield as well. One is the expansion of a tuition expense tax credit,
right,
that would allow parents to access the private market for education, private schools, and also the expansion of the number of charter public schools in the state, a popular new public schooling option that's doing wonders in some of the state's neediest communities.
The number here is 312-751-1979. We're talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute about a poll that was released last week showing public support for vouchers, where we are, the number of undecideds that are out there, and who is supporting and opposing. Colin, I think one of the things that we are particularly interested in terms of the Catholic community is we believe that parents are the main providers of education for their children. And I think what was really interesting in the poll, it's kind of buried in there. It showed that only 11% of parents cite 11% cite the lack of parental involvement being the biggest problem in our public school system. It seems to me if the public were more aware, if parents were more involved with their children's education, proposals such as school choice initiatives may receive more support in terms of advocacy and that sort of thing. You make a comment about parental involvement in education?
For all intents and purposes, it's basically shunned within our current paradigm of education. We know that the first and most fundamental way for a parent to be involved in their child's education is through choosing which school that child attends. To take away that choice, to assign a child to a particular school, regardless of its quality, regardless of a child's particular needs, and then to all of a sudden ask parents to become very heavily involved, is really just an asinine way of going about providing any kind of care, be it health care or education. As you see in a great many number of your schools, by virtue simply of the fact that they're schools of choice,
yep,
parents get much more involved. The Catholic schools serve a huge number of non-Catholic parents.
Absolutely.
So mm-hmm. The issue of faith is not necessarily what compels them to make your schools very good schools in a number of struggling communities. It's the simple fact that they're schools of choice, and parents from day one are allowed to be involved by choosing those schools.
I think faith is a big component of it, but I think you're right. If you look at the other reasons cited, and I can't quite recall it, there was some statistics given about the reasons that children that all Illinoisans throughout the state send their children to private schools. It's not necessarily broke down between Catholic and non-Catholic, but academic excellence, I think, was the most was the most widely chosen response in terms of why parents choose private schools.
Well, when we did ask parents or in taxpayers why they would make the choice that they did, and once again I'll say that we asked taxpayers if they had the opportunity to send their child to any kind of school or any kind of education sending, where would they send their children in order to receive the best education possible? Only 1 in 5 came back and said regular public schools. By a 2-to-1 margin, parents would rather send to their children to private schools, 39% compared to 19% saying that they'd rather send them to regular public schools. And then when we asked them why they made that decision, 63% came back and said academic quality or matters of school curriculum.
Yep, yep.
And so it's obvious that parents, in a wide open system of choice, two-thirds of them would make their primary decision would be based on academic quality. Others cited, school safety, mm-hmm. Convenience, closeness to home,
sure,
which obviously has a lot to do with family concerns.
Community building, right.
And a couple of other criteria as well that they cited. But by far, the overwhelming concern of parents was the quality of education that their parents can receive within a particular school. And obviously, people don't think the school is available right now, and the current public schooling status quo best provides them that opportunity.
Absolutely. We're talking this morning with Colin Hitt from the Illinois Policy Institute. The number here, if you wish to join our conversation, we're talking about a poll that was released on school choice issues. The number, if you wish to join our conversation, is 312-751-1979. We're talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute. We'll be back at 9:20 talking about the upcoming presidential primary in Iowa. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. Please join our conversation, but right now we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to continue our discussion right after this brief message.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development helps fund organizations that break the cycle of poverty and make Chicagoland a better place to live.
Our organization conducted a summer academic camp on Chicago's South Side to keep kids safe, off the streets, and help them succeed in school.
Thanks to our efforts, the EPA is cleaning up industrial pollution that is threatening residents and scores of homes in Little Village.
We have been fighting to keep a well-respected nursing home open in Lake County.
We teach homeless women a useful craft, pay them a living wage, and offer them transitional housing if needed.
Those are just a few examples of the wonderful work being done by the more than 20 local organizations funded by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Let's break the cycle of poverty and make Chicago and the suburbs a better place to live.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Okay, we're back on the air. This is Bob Gilligan talking with Colin Hitt of the Illinois Policy Institute. The number is 312-751-1979. And we're talking about a poll that came out last week with regards to the public attitude on school choice and vouchers. Colin, quick question. If individuals, I know that I think we were trying to post the results of the poll on our website, which is the www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org site. And if people wanted to get a copy of this, is the Illinois Policy Institute, is it available through your organization?
Absolutely. You can find a full copy of the poll results at our website, www.illinoispolicyinstitute.org, or if you have any trouble at all finding them there, please email me. That's Colin, C-O-L-L-I-N, at illinoispolicyinstitute.org, and we'll make sure that you've got a copy in hand as soon as possible.
Great. One of the things that I think that's mentioned in the preamble to the report that I was looking at this morning is it talks about questions continuing to grow about how to best provide a quality education to all Illinois children. It seems, Colin, that the whole focus of the conversation was about public education, about how to best fund public education. And I'm not sure if we're hearing enough about accountability in public education or alternatives to public education. And I think that's what your poll is trying to do, is to try to draw some public attention to the fact that there are other ways to go. And in some other states, it seems like there's been more acceptance of alternatives to public education.
Well, absolutely. But the Illinois Policy Institute, I should point out, has a different definition of public education than do most folks working within state and local governments. And it's very simple. Public education is about the education of the public. It does not mean public education comprises only of the education delivered or not delivered within public schools or schools run by local and state governments. It was Milton Friedman, in fact, the namesake of the foundation that underwrote the cost of this poll, that made that distinction so clear when he was a resident of Chicago while working at the University
of Chicago. Right.
Yes, not all public education, or not all public schooling is education, and not all education schooling. It's an incredibly important point, and one I think that the Catholic Conference makes well.
Absolutely. Was there any major surprises in the poll that, or things that you thought were particularly of interest?
Well, in particular, the fact that only one in four Illinoisans are willing to rate their public school system as either, excellent or good was something that was particularly shocking. Literally, everybody is familiar with Illinois public schools. 85% of school-age children in Illinois attend public schools. They're a staple of every community. Nearly everyone in Illinois knows at least one public school teacher. Millions of them happen in their family or are public school teachers. So the fact that only one in four would share a favorable view of these institutions that are preeminent in many parts of Illinois as being a staple of the community is something that was particularly shocking to us. And what's more, when we asked parents, once again, where they would send their kids, all other things being equal, in order to receive the best education possible, the fact that fewer than one in five came back and said public schools was something that was just shocking to us, and something that really speaks to the point that the Illinois Policy Institute has long made, is that parents deserve and they want many more choices in order to receive a high-quality public education than they currently do.
That's interesting, because the other thing I found interesting, too, is the public's knowledge about the level of funding that goes into their districts. I think it was over two-thirds of the public who responded to the poll indicated that they thought that there was considerably, I think it was more money going into the into their district than actually is. I think the average district gets about $8,000 or something like that.
Poll findings were the exact opposite.
I was going to say, I think I have that opposite. Yeah, yeah.
About two-thirds of Illinoisans at least appear to believe that there is considerably less funding being spent statewide per pupil than there actually is. Illinois has actually already exceeded, in terms of combined state, local, and federal money, exceeded the $10,000 mark. By the end of next year, it's very possible that we'll have exceeded the $11,000 mark. Only about 1 in 10 Illinoisans believe that it was even above $9,000. So when we see a plurality of Illinoisans thinking that schools receive too little money, although a statistical tie with those who think it's too much, with most people actually in the middle thinking it's just right, that you also have to view that through the lens that most Illinoisans, an overwhelming majority of Illinoisans, are off by literally thousands of dollars per pupil in the amount that they think is spent of their hard-earned tax money on students in the public schools. And the Illinois Policy Institute does have to wonder how would attitudes about the quality of public schools change even further if parents were better informed about the amount of money that was being spent to educate or miseducate their child in a public school.
Where do we go from here with the poll results? It seems, like I said earlier, that the public, by and large, I forgot the statistic, but there was a considerable number of people who are either undecided or were not familiar with vouchers. It seems like there's an advocacy opportunity here. Any plans to try? The coverage of the poll, I think downstate was fair. I don't think it was received much coverage up here. But any ideas on where to take it from here?
Well, absolutely. Well, one is reaching out to organizations like the Catholic Conference, whose parents have already, or whose members have already expressed an interest in becoming involved. I would hope that this poll right away would be of a huge use to them, and hopefully would be somewhat uplifting. There were eight other organizations, including the Illinois Policy Institute, that were sponsors of this poll. Each of them had promised to go back to their membership and talk to them, but also talking to folks in their community. In terms of print media, this poll got a huge amount of attention in downstate Illinois.
And
print media, less so in Chicago. But, you know, our chairman and CEO at the Illinois Policy Institute, John Tillman, has been on WLS radio talking about this, WGN radio. I'm talking to you now. And, of course, you know, the ubiquitous Internet.
Right.
I'm sure that just about everybody has access to this poll and its results. And it's been online there at the Illinois Policy Institute's website. And we're happy to say that our traffic has improved since the release of this
really?
Poll.
Good.
So we think people are getting their hands on it, and we're going to be working hard for as long as we're around to make sure that people see how their neighbors feel and other communities feel about matters of public education and school choice.
It is, as we've said here, in my very humble opinion, it's probably one of the greatest social justice issues of our time. It's a shame that there is a whole, in my opinion, a whole segment of our population who reside in areas of our state where there is, quite frankly, a substandard public education system at this point in time, and they don't have access, they don't have choice, and they're basically, I don't know what the future is without other options. It's really a tragedy, and unfortunately, it's one of those things where I just, I'm amazed that public policy leaders in those communities aren't more supportive of school choice issues, and perhaps this poll will start a more conductive conversation and lead to a more productive result. Colin, we have to sign off. Thanks so much for your time this morning. That was Colin Hitt from the Illinois Policy Institute. And when we come back, we are going to continue with our show and sort of switch gears here a bit. We're going to be joined by Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference, who's going to give us some insights in terms of what's going on in Iowa with all these visitors he's having to his state. So please join our conversation. Render your opinion about what's going on with the presidential race. My name is Bob Gilligan. The phone number to join our conversation is 312-751-1979. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this brief message.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Francis Cardinal George is elected president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. We'll talk to the Cardinal about his expanding role as a church leader. And we'll take you to one of our Chicago Catholic elementary schools, where you can see the good that comes from the parish sharing program.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
All right, welcome back to our program this morning. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking about public policy issues. We started on school choice. We're going to switch gears to what's going on in Iowa. We have a whole cornucopia of topics here today. whatever that word means. Okay, let's see. On the line, hopefully, we have with us Tom Chapman from the Iowa Catholic Conference. Tom, are you with us?
I'm with you. How you doing, Bob?
We're great. How about yourself?
Super.
Good to hear your voice. And I have to admit that our producer here, Mike May, he just wants to know if Oprah is anywhere near you.
No, she's not. I think she's headed back that way.
Actually, she's probably with us. Yeah, she's probably down the street.
Yeah, exactly.
See, he doesn't have a very good sense of direction anyway. Tom, welcome to our program. We're talking about some of the issues going on in Iowa, or maybe what we should do is just start with any observations. We had a poll here, by the way, that appeared in the Chicago Tribune yesterday morning, and it indicated that at least in Illinois, Barack Obama has about a 2-1 lead over Hillary Clinton. I think it was like 50%, 25%. And on the and then I think Edwards was polling at about 7%, and I think the poll was taken last week, which I don't think really surprises many people here that Obama would have that sort of lead, being that he was a state senator. And although Hillary is technically from Illinois, I think I don't know what state she's most affiliated with these days. But interestingly, on the Republican side, and I want to talk about both parties, on the Republican side, I found it very interesting that Giuliani is polling ahead in Illinois. I think he was at 23%. Mike Huckabee was at 21%.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from, but if somebody's out there, is he's really picking up steam. And then, you know, we had the standard. We had, I think it was Romney was at 14, McCain 12, Thompson 11. So we have a long way to go here, and I'm sure your state's going to influence a little bit on how we do here, as well as New Hampshire and other states. Any observations from sort of you're at the you got a good front row seat there.
Yeah, it's really something else. In fact, and I've lived in Iowa my whole life, and I've never seen it like this. I mean, both of the parties are just are wide open still, who's going to win. And the candidates are just really working the state hard, especially the Democrats. But it's really been interesting. I mean, you can't walk around downtown without running into somebody at some point. It's goofy, you know, for Iowa. And but, you know, you talked about Huckabee a little bit, and you know what? He's really come up in Iowa too. He's got the lead in the latest polls.
Yeah.
Over Romney. Romney has been leading, you know, for the past several months, and then Huckabee has come up, and Giuliani's been third. But you know, I think the reason for that is that a lot of the more social conservatives or evangelical people were kind of looking for somebody to land on.
Yeah.
Because the way that people talk about it here, a lot of people they didn't really trust Romney in terms of his pro-life because he's new to it, and he's had different positions on different issues, and they just kind of thought of him as like, you know, I don't really trust him for that. So,
yep.
So they were kind of looking for somebody, and I think they landed on Huckabee.
312-751-1979. We're talking with Tom Chapman. Tom, you're calling in from Des Moines, is that right?
Yep, that's right. I'm in Des Moines.
Good. Did you see the Huckabee phenomena, for lack of a better characterization, coming?
Well, I didn't see it as much as some people did. This summer, I started to get some kind of a whiff of it as Senator Brownback had locked up some of the people earlier along
right.
social conservatives, but he really wasn't catching on, and they were starting to look around. And he really caught on with some of the supporters of the fair tax idea.
Okay.
And you could start to see that he was going to do well at the straw poll in August and things like that. And so, and he's a likable guy. If you look at him on TV, and
he's very likable.
People like to vote for people who are likable.
Sure.
You know? And so I saw that coming, but there were other people. In fact, my predecessor here at the Iowa Catholic Conference has said, you know, watch out for Huckabee for a long time.
I remember that email.
Yeah.
It was over a year ago.
Yeah, probably a year and a half ago. And I think he caught it earlier than a lot of people did. So, but absolutely, he's clearly in the lead. Now, you know, McCain got the endorsement of the Des Moines Register.
Yesterday,
which,
correct?
Yesterday.
Okay.
Which I don't think it says a whole lot to Republicans, quite honestly.
Interesting.
You know?
Really?
But it does say something about, you know, how they feel about his competence. And so, you know, it's still pretty much in flux. But I think clearly Huckabee would have the lead.
Now, the latest polls I saw had Huckabee, Romney, and then the third was sort of a toss-up.
Right.
I think Giuliani was still in third, but do you think the McCain endorsement will help Giuliani, will help McCain surpass?
Yeah, I think it will help him, absolutely, because he's been around and people trust him to say what he thinks, you know, and to hold
the
stance that
he has that reputation,
popular.
Sure.
Yeah, and that has some appeal for some people. And so, yeah, I definitely think it's going to help him. You know, I really do. Really what Giuliani is hoping for, I think, is for Huckabee to kind of take Romney down a peg here in Iowa and then try to carry that through later, you know, after New Hampshire. So
yeah.
It's still really interesting.
The whole caucus system that you have in Iowa is pretty unique. Can you give us a sense of how that works?
Well, basically, it's neighborhood meetings. You meet by precinct, and the Democrats will go over here, and the Republicans will go over here, and it may be in a school or a church or something like that. And you just get together with your neighbors by party, and they both do the presidential preferences a little differently. The Republican Party just basically takes a vote in the precinct and sends it in, you know, to the state office, and what you'll see is just kind of the percentage of those votes. In the on the Democratic Party, what they do is you actually physically go stand in a corner by candidate. You know, they'll say, you know, all the Clinton people go over here, all the Obama people go over here, all the Edwards people go over here, etc. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of count up, and if your candidate does not have 15% of the people in that building, then you have to go somewhere else or go to uncommitted. And so I think that's something that's going to help Senator Obama.
Really?
And Senator Edwards, to be quite honestly, I'll tell you why, this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Hillary Clinton is many people's second choice. You know, I think if you like Hillary Clinton, you're going to go for her.
Yes.
If you don't, you know, if you're not going to go for her, I don't, you know, a lot of people just say they just don't plain like her.
Yeah, know? It's a like-dislike. There's not much in the middle with her.
Yeah, so
yes.
If you're a Richardson supporter, let's say, or something like that, and you don't get to 15% in that precinct, I don't think it's likely that most of those people are going to go to Clinton. They'll go to Obama or Edwards.
Or somebody else. So watch out for one of those two is what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could break that way. We have to take a quick break, and we want to hear your questions or comments, if you have any, for Tom Chapman, who is the director of the Iowa Catholic Conference, and he has a front row seat for what's going on with the presidential primary. The phone number here is area code 312-751-1979, and we'll be back after this brief message to talk further with Tom. It is 9:30 on the hour, so please come back and join our conversation after this message.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever. Great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference talking with Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference, talking about a little bit what's going on in Iowa, the presidential primary going on. The number is 312-751-1979. Tom, we were talking at the break about the system that puts Iowa sort of at the forefront, of how we elect our president. It's not a primary, as you were indicating before the break. It's a caucus, which is slightly different. And New Hampshire's the first primary. And you and I were in Washington recently, and Mark Shields, the political commentator, the columnist, was talking about kind of defending Iowa, quite frankly, in how it does allow for a candidate like a Mike Huckabee, who really didn't have much money, to go there, campaign. I think Jimmy Carter, I think we can go back to a number of candidates who did well because they were able to do well in Iowa. That boosted them to such a way. As opposed to what we were talking about at the break is, well, why don't we just have a national primary and do it all at once? And that way we don't have to go through this long process. Any thoughts on, being that you have to deal with these people every 4 years,
yeah,
or
right.
going to your state?
In some ways it'd be okay if it was different. But I think Shields did hit the nail on the head in the sense that you don't have to have a lot of money to compete early.
Yep.
And I think that makes a big difference, because the thing I would be afraid with having these big regional primaries or big national primaries is then it's all about the TV ads.
Yep.
And the folks, these candidates, never have to get in front of any real people, you know. And here they really do. It's almost like they're running for the city council.
Yep.
You know, and they were in Senator Obama was in my hometown last night, Spirit Lake, Iowa, about 3,000 people.
Wow.
At the high school, and mm-hmm. he probably met every one of those 3,000 people.
That's incredible.
And there's something to that. It can't help but affect the person who's running.
Yep.
You know, to have some sense that, you know, as a president, I've got to deal with people. You know, it could be in another state, absolutely. It doesn't have to be Iowa. But I think that's the advantage of the system we have now.
Retail politics at its finest. It does. And, you know, I've heard, maybe Shields said this, or maybe I've heard somebody else say it, is that really after Iowa, that's the last time that they're going to really be talking with people for any length of time, any substantive conversation. Because once they go to New Hampshire and on, it's basically TV and, you know, all of those tricks of the trade that we know of.
Yeah, they're running around. I mean, most of these folks have been in Iowa for more than a year, you know, in some sense, not all the time.
Getting to know people.
But they get to know people and they get to know places and things like that, and it's not the same in the other states because they're kind of jumping around from primary to primary. But, you know, I'm with people where it says the process has gotten too long.
Oh,
I mean,
has it ever.
Always, you know, they're always going on, and then, you know, by the time they're nominated, they're starting to draw flies. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not
healthy
for the system.
I agree. January 3rd is your caucus, the first one. And in Illinois, if listeners don't recall, we actually moved up our primary through legislation last year. We usually had our primary in mid-March, and we moved it up to February 5th. And the reason being is to help help Barack Obama, who served in the state Senate.
Sure.
Tom, talking about Barack Obama, it seems to me, my perception of Iowa is it's a fairly conservative state. I know Barack Obama. I remember him when he was in the Illinois State Senate. He is not – I don't envision him as doing very well in Iowa, but he is. Is it personality? Is it the perception of hope, or what is it?
Yeah, it's like no prophet is without honor except in his own country, you know, and so you've seen him up close. I think in Iowa, I think it is about personality and bringing something new to the process. It's not because of all his liberal stance, because, you know, he's as liberal as any of the other candidates.
Right.
You know, I think
more
in terms
so.
Within the Democrats, you know, it's not all that different among any of them, really. And so I think people see him as bringing something different, and people are always ready for something different. They see the partisan fights that we've had in Washington over the last several years, and it's
mm-hmm.
getting worse rather than better.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone would have some idea that it could be better and try to bring people together a little bit more, that's appealing to a lot of people, and I think that's why he's in.
I have a friend of mine who's a Democratic consultant, and he says that Obama is a blank slate. He's ever what you, he's whatever you want him to be. He's hope, he's change, he's the future. Tom, we have a caller on the line. Let me try to take this. Gene, are you on the air?
Yes, here I am.
Or on the phone? Gene, welcome to our... Well, you're somewhere. I got it. Gene, welcome. All right, I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, how does Huckabee stack up as a pro-life candidate and in comparison to the other candidates, if you could answer that question?
Is that for me or for... Tom, why don't you go and then I'll go.
Okay, you bet.
You're the expert.
In. as far as being a pro-life candidate, I think he's very solid. I think he knows what he's about. He's able to communicate that. He doesn't have any weasel words about being pro-life, and he's been pro-life his whole life. And I think, quite honestly, that's a big part of his appeal here in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. I would concur with what you're saying from what I've read, and I'm just going on what I've read, is that seems to be the case as well. I think that some were thinking that Thompson would fit that bill,
right.
But I think some of his comments on Meet the Press gave people pause when he talked about it just devolving that issue to the states and that sort of thing.
Right.
But then he picked up a major endorsement of a pro-life group. So
yeah, the National Right to Life, yep.
Right, and I'm not making a case for Thompson, but
right.
I think you're right. I think when people hear Huckabee, they see that loud. They feel that he's not mincing words, that he's pretty direct, that he's very candid about it, and I don't think that's something that's really negotiable with him.
Right.
We take another quick break. We're talking with Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference. We would like to have your input, your observations. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. It is 9:39 on a very cold, wintry morning in Chicago. This is Bob Gilligan. We'll be back after this brief message.
This is Father Mike Boland, Administrator of Catholic Charities, wishing you a most blessed Christmas. As we enter into the Christmas season, I would like to take a moment to thank you. Because of your ongoing generosity, we have become the safety net for more than 1 million people in the past year. On behalf of our Board of Advisors and staff members, volunteers, and especially those whom we are privileged to serve, I want you to know how deeply grateful to you we are for your support of our mission at Catholic Charities.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Christians around the world celebrate the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity from January 18th through the 25th of each year. This year marks 100 years of praying for Christian unity. You are invited to celebrate this occasion at the 8th Annual Chicagoland Ecumenical Prayer Service. Leaders from nearly 20 Christian churches of Chicago will participate in the service on Sunday, January 20th at 4 p.m. at Christ Community Church in South Holland. Please call the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-751-5325 for more information. That's 312-751-5325. And remember to keep in your prayers the Christian unity that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ desired for us.
Welcome back to our show. This is Bob Gilligan with the Catholic Conference of Illinois, talking with Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference. And Tom, if nothing else, in this conversation today, there's three guys in the booth, and I can tell you, any time a particular name is raised, I get either cheers or thumbs up or thumbs down. So I'm starting to learn a lot about who's for who here.
Yep.
So anyway, hey, I just have a quick, I want to pass along something, and then we want to take another phone call. In the Tribune poll, I found it interesting that of the Democrats poll, Democrats who are polled, is they are very optimistic. 82% of them said that they thought their party's chances of taking back the White House were very good or excellent, whereas only 45% of the Republicans viewed their chances of retaining the presidency were good or excellent. So I think the Democrats are very optimistic this time that this could be their chance to take back the White House. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I think before we do is we want to take another caller. Edith, you're on the line. Edith, welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to comment about the difference between watching the debates and the reporting on national television.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, you wouldn't even recognize it. All you hear is Obama and Hillary and a little bit of Edwards for the Democrats, And for the Republicans, you know, except recently for Huckabee, mm-hmm. you never heard anything. I mean, you get an entirely different impression if you watch it. For example, if I had to vote for a Democrat, I would vote for Biden. I think he's the most, he's got the most going for him, and yet he doesn't have the big money, obviously. And
yeah.
I'm very, very concerned about this. This election, because the big money is being shoved down our throats, and frankly, the front runners, except I might vote for Huckabee if he makes it, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want any of them. Quite frankly, they scare me.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's very scary, and I do feel the media, big money is behind all this, and we're not going to have much of a choice by the time... You know, the rest of the nation. I mean, I feel very concerned about this election.
Edith, thanks for your call. I think you bring up a couple different points there. If I could see maybe get Tom's reaction, I guess, first of all, is the coverage nationally. Tom, you probably have an interesting perspective because, you know, I'm not sure if your perspective is better or worse being in Iowa. I mean, you can't separate the forest from the trees sometimes. In terms of the national coverage, I think that's Edith's first point. And secondly, I think, well, she's expressing a concern about the overall quality of the candidates, which I suppose is a whole different show. But then she talks about how did the second-tier candidates kind of get to that first tier, and maybe Huckabee did that. He was clearly second tier, been come first. But, you know, I think there's that tension as well between, you know, because I've seen a couple minutes of the debates, and I talked to my dad even, and he's like, you know, sometimes, why are those other guys on the stage? You know, is Tancredo or Duncan Hunter or Ron Paul? You know, I don't know. It's kind of tough. That's a dilemma.
Right. Well, it's tough, especially when you're getting closer to the caucuses or to the primaries, you know, who should be included in.
Yeah.
And some of the people are just kind of taking up airspace. You know?
I mean,
Alan Keyes, I mean, everybody just thought, what in the world was he doing on that stage?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I have no idea why the Redskins put him on the stage.
Yeah. Well, he would know. He'd tell you all about it for an hour and a half.
Yeah. But, you know, they look for the gotcha moments. But I think there was one piece that the caller was talking about that I'm paying attention to is there's not a whole lot about to me it's not real talk about competence. You know, what have they actually accomplished? And you know, for Senators Clinton and Obama to point at each other, you know, they don't really have a record internationally,
right?
Or much of a record nationally, to be quite honest. You know, and
that's
so,
true.
And
yeah.
That's part of the reason that people look to Senator Biden or Governor Richardson or, you know, Senator McCain, who's they've been around. You know, at least they have a history of something. And sometimes I think we don't look enough at who can actually do the job, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And the reasons why people select their candidate is very interesting as well. 312-751-1979. Tom, I'd be interested to, you know, I joked earlier about Oprah and Obama. Do you think that translates into votes for Barack Obama? Or because I think, if I recall right, they were in Iowa together and they were in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So by the time we get to South Carolina, is anybody going to really remember that? I mean, if Oprah's not there leading them to the polls, do you think the star factor has any does that translate into votes, or is that just kind of a media covering media phenomenon?
Well, I think in very few cases would it make a difference in Iowa. In very few, actually, I think Oprah probably did have an impact because it was such a big event in terms of just sheer numbers that they had here.
Really?
At Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge event, and it got so much coverage, and there's a lot of people that really pay attention to Oprah's show. You know, I'm usually at work when it's running, so I don't see it, but there's obviously a lot of people that do. And it really got a lot of bang for the buck out of that. You know?
Sure did.
I think that had an impact, to be honest. It didn't hurt Senator Obama at all. And his poll numbers inched up a little bit afterwards. So
we always
very few, though, would make a difference.
We hear this from time. We saw this with Howard Dean 4 years ago, and we hear about the internet and about young people getting more engaged in the process. I was driving down Lincoln Avenue the other day on the north side of Chicago, and I noticed Ron Paul has an office in Chicago, and they're having – his campaign is basically an internet-driven type of campaign. And I found it interesting that they swap emails, or they go into a chat room, and then they all – then when they finally get ready, they have a meet. There's a phrase for it. I can't remember what it was.
Meet up or something?
Yeah, there you go. Meet up. Yeah, you're more technologically savvy than I am. Ron Paul's candidacy, do you see that being a big surprise in Iowa? Do you think the meetups in Iowa are going to translate into votes?
Well, let's put it this way. It will be a big surprise to me if he does well. I mean, and you know, you mm-hmm. can't say it wouldn't happen, but it's certainly not shown in the polls. It's he does have, you know, if you actually listen to what he says, he's got some good ideas, and that's one of those things where the media, I think, really doesn't give him a fair shake, because the things he talks about are really not what the usual candidates, not the usual thing, and so they kind of discount it.
Yeah.
And he has a very eclectic group of supporters. Now, whether that's going to translate to people actually going out to this meeting on a cold January night when the Orange Bowl is on, I don't know.
Right, and that's the other factor, is the Orange Bowl that we have not talked about is football, which I'm sure is very important with Iowa. Yeah, yeah, I guess Iowa didn't do very well this year, so they're going to a major bowl.
Yeah,
so
no,
maybe that's...
No, if we're not pulling any Hawkeye fans, they'll probably be ready to go to the meeting.
Exactly. We're going to take another quick break here, heading into the final segment of our show. The number, if you care to join our conversation, is 312-751-1979. I'm talking with Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference and giving his observations about what's going on in his state with regard to the presidential primary. This is Bob Gilligan. We'll be back after this brief message.
Said no to life, I wouldn't be here.
I march because I'm a survivor.
I just want to stand up for all the children who don't have a voice of their own.
I march because they can't.
I march for change.
Join hundreds of thousands in Washington, D.C. this January at the annual March for Life. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Respect Life Office is hosting its fifth annual youth pilgrimage, a four-day trip open to people of all ages. For more information or to register, call 312-751-5355 or check out the Respect Life Office at www.archchicago.org. The registration deadline is December 14th, so act fast and join your voice to the cause for life. Call 312-751-5355 today.
I march.
I march.
I march because if I don't, who will?
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Neff, weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
All right, this is Bob Gilligan. It is 9:51 on a very cold, wintry, snowy Chicago morning, talking to Tom Chapman, who is in Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm sure it's very cold, wintry, and snowy there as well.
It's cold. You got it.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. Tom, we have about 9 minutes to go, 8 minutes to go here at 9:52 a.m. in Chicago. One of the things we've talked about is personalities and, you know, trends and all that sort of thing. We really haven't talked a whole lot about issues. What are the major issues? It seems to me that I don't mean to lead your response,
right,
but it seems to me that issues-wise, Iraq seems to be in the back burner. Maybe domestic issues are picking up steam here a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely people are not talking about the war,
mm-hmm.
you know, in either party.
Yeah.
On the Republican side, there's a lot of talk about immigration,
you know,
who can be tough on immigration, and Huckabee's getting slammed from, you know, a couple different
right.
sides on that because he had done some things that would be people would consider to be pro, you know, undocumented, pro-illegal immigrant. So he's getting slammed for that, particularly within the Republican Party. That's been a domestic issue, I guess, which has some foreign policy implications. But really, to be honest, on my viewpoint on the Democratic side, it's they're talking about health care reform a lot and
right.
to do the best job with health care reform.
Big issue.
Yeah, and it's a huge issue. When I go out in the state and have done probably six this fall, what we call faithful citizenship workshops,
right.
try
mm-hmm.
to get people active in, you know, it's kind of a let people know it's their moral duty to get involved in politics.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I always have a time where people just work in small groups about, you know, what are the most important issues to you? And I don't lead them in any way. You know, I just have the groups talk, and then they report back.
And is health care usually one of them?
Oh, it's always number one.
Interesting.
It's always, they say their insurance is bad,
yeah.
or it costs too much, or I don't have insurance because I can't afford it. Or right now, that's number one. And that's and these are bipartisan groups. You know, we've got
right.
Republicans and Democrats in the room. And so I think that issue is kind of losing its partisanship in terms of, you know, where the people actually are.
Tom, if I can interrupt you, actually, this is probably a good transition. I think there's
yeah.
a phone caller on the line who wants to talk a little bit about faithful citizenship. Jim, are you on the line?
Sure.
Jim?
Yes, I'm here. I had two questions. The first one, do you have a date as to where the Cardinal mentioned the faithful citizenship document that the bishops are putting together? You know, do you have a date as to when you expect that to be available? And I think incorporated in that document will be, you know, a guide as to how, when you're looking at which candidate you're going to vote for, how to evaluate your conscience, and that there's certain uncompromising moral things that have higher weight or precedence over others. For example, like abortion being intrinsically evil would have a higher weight in forming, you know, your decision than maybe, say, war, or, you know, war, which is obviously evil, but, you know, it's different than you know, killing an innocent, you know, child in the womb.
Absolutely.
Kind of any information surrounding that.
Right. Tom, do you want to take that? We have about 3 minutes.
Sure. Well, the bishops, the United States bishops document is out. It's on their website. You can go to it at usccb.org/faithful-citizenship, and they've got a new bulletin announcement and also the document itself. And what I tell people is two basic things. Number one, you really have to inform your conscience in the light of church teaching and your human reason. And the church is trying to say that some issues do have more weight than others. In the end, it's still a decision for your conscience. And what they say about voting for someone who holds a position that we would call intrinsically evil is you would really have to have grave moral reasons for voting for that candidate. And it outlines some of the things that you have to look at. And so I really think this is a great document in the sense that it really says, people, you've got to take this to prayer. You've got to have some discernment about your votes because it is a moral choice.
Well said. And Jim, thanks for the call. That was a timely question, and that's exactly what I was thinking in terms of this last segment and talking about some of the issues. And we really didn't talk about it a whole lot, but touched on it tangentially, issues from a Catholic perspective, and that is summarized in faithful citizenship. Tom, we have about 2 minutes here. Do you want to go off on a limb here and make any predictions, or do you want to hedge your bets?
I'll just say, don't take this as a stone cold lock.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You know? But I would say I really do think that Obama is going to end up on top in Iowa.
Interesting.
I think that's the way it's going.
Hmm.
And I just think that the second choice thing is not going to help Senator Clinton in that regard. So Edwards is still doing well, but I think Obama's going to squeak it out. And the Republican side, you know, McCain got endorsements. Romney and Huckabee are still fighting it out. You know, I would say it's going to be really close. But at this point, I'll stick with Huckabee because that's the way the trend has been, and I haven't seen anything to upset that trend.
From our vantage point here, that's probably what I would say. And I think if that does come to fruition, I think this thing is then wide open as we go into New Hampshire, which is 5 days after the Iowa caucus. And then, you know, does that give a bump to Huckabee? Is it the status quo? Does that eat into Romney's lead? What about Giuliani? Does Thompson decide that this thing is not doable, or does he stay in there until South Carolina, which he probably will?
Wide open.
I think it's wide open, and it should be an interesting. I was talking about this with a friend of mine last night. I think it's interesting to see all what's going to happen and transpire. And I think to make that point back to the what we were talking about earlier is it's important to consult that document, Faithful Citizenship, that Tom gave the address for. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of forums and parish settings to talk about that in the next. Geez, what's it going to be? How many months do we have of this?
Oh my, 10, 11 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a long year.
Yeah, it's a long haul.
Exactly. In some ways, I'm probably grateful then that Illinois has moved it up to February 5th, and we can just do this and move on from there, because I think we're part of that massive. There's a number of states that are going to be on February 5th.
Day.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. This has been very interesting. I hope the callers were able to glean something from your comments, and it's always interesting to get the perspective of somebody else in another state. Once again, I think what we should do is probably mention the Faithful Citizenship document. And that address is www.faithfulcitizenship.org, or you can go to the USCCB website and reference it there. Thanks for the callers today that called in. This is Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois. Join us for another program. This will be the last program in 2007. See, Mike's got tears in his eyes, tears of joy. So join us again when we come back in 2008. Gosh, I can't believe it. Anyway, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. This is Bob Gilligan, and we'll talk to you next year.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development helps fund organizations that break the cycle of poverty and make Chicagoland a better place to live.
Our organization